The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sandaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May they all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that decision. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambhi tatyambhi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Reminder to folks that we record the Sunday groups and make them available for monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning? Renee.
Yes, from our planning about my weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It brings a whole new meaning to Weekend Warrior.
Weekend Warrior. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to start calling it. So a lot more consciousness over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
I was really, I saw a whole lot of stuff and had a really nice day with more awareness yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And what I noticed was a lot of dualities going on, conversations, talking to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a blessed life, I hate my life. You know, like back and forth. And you should have that, but you shouldn't have that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you should be able to do whatever you want and be financially independent. And you should work really hard, and you know, you don't have enough. You know,
yeah.
Just a whole lot of conversation like that.
Yeah, that same opposite ends of the duality,
yeah.
All within this this field of consciousness that you were practicing, mm-hmm. With the weekend. Everything from I have a blessed life to I hate my life,
yeah.
And everything in between.
Yeah. And just watching that kind of go on all day long, and then this morning just noticing a real noticing being attached to things,
mm-hmm.
You know, and a real strong attachment to the way things were, the way things are. Afraid of losing things,
mm-hmm.
Needing to get things or mm-hmm. control the environment so you don't lose something, or you're trying to, kind of a fear of loss or something
mm-hmm.
going on a lot. So just seeing that.
Now was this morning that you saw that.
Well, I've been looking at attachment a little bit with the recommendation to do that, and because it'll be like something good will happen, or there will be a promise of something good happening, and then there's like this attachment to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That is. I think you're saying this, but I want to just clarify that you're seeing as ego. So there's something good, or like a hope or promise of something good,
mm-hmm.
you know, first of all, that it gets called good,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this attachment that latches onto it,
mm-hmm.
and are you seeing that as the ego, the ego is attaching, or does it feel like that you, that whoever is, this is you, is attaching?
Yeah. Well, it feels like me when it's going on,
uh-huh.
except I think it's ego, you
uh-huh.
know. Being attached and not in the flow of life and permanence,
yeah.
and you know all of that.
Yeah.
However, there is it feels like there's a real feeling
yeah.
of grief or
yeah.
loss.
Yeah.
You know, because I was thinking like there's some people in my life who have a harder time with losing people, mm-hmm. I've just noticed, than other people. Mm-hmm. And or losing things, life changing.
Mm-hmm. Just loss.
Just loss in general. And I was just noticing how pretty much our experience is a continual experience of loss.
Yeah. It really is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's always a process that's going on, that things come and things go. Mm-hmm. Things are, quote, gained and things are, quote, lost. And what you're seeing is that there are certain people in your life that seem to have more difficulty with that feels like stumbling block. And you yourself have felt that sort of grief or sadness when something is seemingly gone. And that speaks to a sense of feeling attached to it, like there's something that's blocking the flow of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like there will be a direction you're going in, mm-hmm. you know, like a new job or a promise of something from the job or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it changes, mm-hmm. you know, okay, that promise, that isn't going to happen. And it's just like kind of like this clinging to it, you know. Well, I shouldn't have to let go of that, you know?
No.
Why did that change? Whose fault is that? You know?
Yeah.
Like kind of going after people about it, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Like they didn't keep their end of the bargain or, you know, like that.
Yeah. It's like a no. This isn't a no. We can't have, who's to blame? What can be done about this? Who, not a acceptance, but a real resistance.
Yeah. And then another attachment to, you know, having fun all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, so, you know, yesterday was a fun day, and there was not any work associated with it, and so then, you know, letting go of, like, I even thought, I wouldn't want this day to end,
uh-huh.
you know, and then the next day, you know, you have chores to do, and so it's like this attachment to just all of that fun stuff,
uh-huh.
and a lot of conversation about, how do I make this happen all the time?
Yeah.
You know, how can I just have fun all the time?
Yeah.
You know, and of course, then it dropped in to be present to everything.
tell me if this is your experience, that actually was happening, because you were practicing mm-hmm. with this consciousness, mm-hmm. very consciously, and noticing all of this stuff coming up, the dualities, the attachments, the sadness, the everything, the loving the day, the not wanting it to end, the no work, everything was just arising mm-hmm. and being as it is, and even hearing that message of being present, and so to feel whatever it is that we're feeling and truly experience, because that consciousness isn't a detachment from it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you are feeling it all, mm-hmm. but also holding it in awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, holding it in awareness and feeling like the way it catches me going unconscious with this. It's like I have the conscious level of seeing it.
Uh-huh.
But underneath that, there's still something going on.
Okay.
You know, like, uh-huh. like there's a real resistance to now going and doing, you know, financial stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or the dishes. To make a simple one. You know, just, and just to go into the mode of, okay, now I have to really think about what I have to do to get ready for the week or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, even though there's a consciousness to it, it's like there's this underlying resistance.
Yeah, there's a real felt deep resistance.
Yeah.
And it comes in, even though in the field of consciousness it comes in and it's like, ugh, work.
Mm-hmm.
Or, ugh, dishes. Or something like that. And it just inserts itself.
Yeah. And then, but what I see about that, as far as how to practice with it, is to just bring all that awareness to it, to whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
To, you know, getting things ready for next week and, you know, getting the groceries and the meal planning and, you know, whatever it is that I have to do, just versus, and making it a little more fun than this drudgery that it feels like, you know, from ego.
So not meeting the resistance with resistance, mm-hmm. but rather the resistance is there and what you bring to it is sort of an enthusiasm or, mm-hmm. you know, an all in or going forward or just kind of embracing what is there, what it is resisting your embracing.
Mm-hmm. Embracing. Yeah, and there, because there seems to be this whole thing about, oh, now I have to get serious and eat salad. You know, and so there's just no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, know? Which is another duality, right?
Yeah,
we got our fun food and we got our serious.
Yeah,
food.
Exactly. Yeah. And so bringing enthusiasm and awareness to that is such a totally opposite thing, way of doing it than conditioning.
Because you're so meant to go with the drudgery.
I have
to be a grown-up and eat salad.
Yeah, no one's going to want to eat salad. I'm going to make a salad, no one's going to eat it.
But instead, going forward with kind of that, in a way, it's sort of that, just that youthful enthusiasm that you brought to the whole day yesterday.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun thing to do, to try to bring that enthusiasm and awareness to the non-fun.
Yeah, quotes in the air, right. Yeah.
The things that aren't quite as... tasty as a metaphor. So I think I'm going to take this weekend warrior practice and just keep doing it. Because I have a week kind of going for Tuesday through Sunday, a whole week of kind of a weekend, and just bringing that awareness to that week. And then also the commitments, you know, I'm just not keeping them right now. So I decided to change them to just, I'm just going to record and listen 5 times a day as my high five. And because, you know, that'll transform my life, whatever is going on. So I think that's simple and straightforward. And even if it's just, hey, how's it going? At least that's accounting as a recording. Check, I'm here.
It is such a good, it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
I'm checking in. Because the whatever drops in, time to record to keep my commitment is the point, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm going to count those 5 recording listenings and for the week, since I'll be kind of on the road, and then just see how that goes. So taking that whole awareness with me.
That sounds good.
I love that conversation about only wanting fun.
Really, who can't relate, right?
There's like big time karma about that in this guy, and just in my whole life, just like, oh, I don't want to go to school. I just want the weekend to go forever and all that kind of stuff. And it's been great what I've been seeing around that here. By practicing here, I've seen a couple of things. First of all, the stuff that the voices say is, oh, I don't wanna, and the drudgery and all that kind of stuff. When I'm present to it and do it, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It is so fun. And then the other thing is, why I hear certain particular activities, like, I love it so much and I just wanna do it all the time. And, like, for example, content of like hiking in the mountains, and then I have the experience here of it doesn't happen very, but then like it's so counterintuitive. But like I realize, like, if you really love something and want to just enjoy the heck out of it, do it less. Do it less. And then when you do it, holy smokes, it just knocks your socks off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
And what do you make of that? What's that process then that's going on there?
I think it's just, for me, it's a training the awareness, the heightened level of awareness. Because if I were to be able to do the thing that I love all the time, it's kind of like any addiction. Like, the more you do it, the kind of less pleasure you get out of it. But and then with this healthy, kind of positive content, if I did it every day, I'd probably really take it for granted.
Take it for granted. Yeah, because the voices would be at us, it's not inherent that you would take it for granted, but the ego process is to take it for granted.
Yeah.
Like the guide said once to me in a guidance appointment, popcorn and a movie would get old every, if you had to do it every day. You know, it's like it would get to be a drudgery. You know, if that was something that you had to do, scheduled thing that you had to do, because that's the process that conditioning
would work on. Yeah, kind of a tangent. I heard the guy say one time during a retreat, in a retreat, talking about this person loved eating bonbons and watching DVDs. Uh-huh. And the guy said, you would know you were in hell if you were forced to do that every day.
Yes, yes. In fact, there's a Twilight Zone like yeah, that right. effect. If you, you know, watch those old Twilight Zone, like, you know you're in hell and you have to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But so, in a way, it's so wonderful. It's kind of like, if you really want to enjoy the beautiful music, turn the volume down.
Damn, yeah.
Kind of thing. It works.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to say quickly, I saw something just last night that was like, oh, it was really fun. I heard recently, I was listening to a recording, you know, I think it was an interview between a guy and someone, and this person was asking kind of like, what do you see as like the main difference between what we do in practice and like self-improvement kind of things? Mm-hmm. And in that part of the conversation, the guy said something along the lines of, and I'm totally not going to do this perfectly, but something along the lines of, well, you know, really anything would probably work if we did it. But the thing is, we don't. You know, we get talked out of doing it. And then this wasn't a part of the conversation, but what I projected onto it. Like, that's what's so magic about this, is that it's a practice, and that we're so deeply supported in doing the practice, and so clearly seeing the resistance, yeah, and have tools to go through it, it makes things available that just never were before.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny, I was just looking at that too today, how there are so many practice supports that we're so deeply supported that it's almost impossible not to do it.
Yeah.
You know, especially those of us that are lucky enough to live here, yeah, right? And that anything, it almost can't not work.
Yeah.
Because of that deep support, and it's just the process of going through it,
yeah,
of whatever it is. Even as you started out with that job that you just, I just don't want to do. I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to do this thing. You know, but just showing up and being present to it, because that's what the schedule calls for, because that's what, you know, we made an agreement to do, or whatever. Just the showing up is the act of pushing through that resistance and seeing that it's just a made-up story.
Yeah, it's so exciting. That's where the magic is.
Yes.
It's in the process of showing up, pushing through the resistance. It doesn't matter,
yeah,
really, what the content is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a dream last night. It felt like a practice dream. Uh-huh. That really happened kind of once in a while. It was a blue moon. And when I was a kid, I used to go down to the basketball courts at the elementary school down the street, and I practiced shooting hoops, mm-hmm, and just kind of messing around. But one day it kind of dropped, it was like this insight just from life, it just dropped in out of the blue, and it was that it doesn't matter. It's not about getting good at basketball. It's the process of showing up and practicing something. I kind of had that.
Wow.
I was like, this is how a life is transformed, is by showing up and just practicing. Mm-hmm. And I had a dream last night. I was at that elementary school basketball court, and I was just shooting hoops, and I totally didn't feel like it. And at first, they were kind of going all over the place, and I was having to chase the ball, and I was like, I just didn't feel like it, but I just kept showing up. Mm-hmm. I just kept shooting hoops. And then another scene of the dream, I just started shooting hoops, and like, I couldn't miss.
Wow.
Even when I missed, they went in. Wow. It was just like guided by a magic hand, you know,
wow,
and I just knew in the dream, the thing that made the difference was the practice.
Yes.
And it was like, whoa.
Gosh, that's one of those gift dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just see that the showing up is it. It's everything. And that's where the magic happens. The magic hand that dunks the ball, even when we miss.
Yeah.
I had a really, really especially nice morning today.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't any effort in it. That's kind of it just felt like it just was wonderful. And you know, just things like, normally I resist when I set my vitamins and stuff up for like 2 weeks. I have these little boxes, and usually when it empties, I'm just like, I don't know why. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, you have to get all this stuff out, put them in the little boxes.
Just my little juicy
Wednesday. Yeah. And it's today, there was no resistance at all. I had no vitamins to take. I would have had to go and get one out of every bottle anyway. So I just went and got it, put stuff down, and just did it. There was nothing resisting it at all. None. And I thought, huh, wow, that wasn't even hard. You know, and it was really clear what was hard about it was just the resistance to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that across the board, really, that life really isn't hard. It's resisting it and putting it off and delaying it. And then it gets late. And then, you know, then it gets to be a problem.
Yeah, because the only, and even then probably the only reason it's a problem is because now the resistance has grown. It's not
right.
Maybe not even all that much more work involved in the work in the task.
Right.
But the static has gotten louder and it's
gotta
gotten
hurry,
fueled.
Gotta hurry, gotta get it done. Yeah. Student tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. So I even had that experience this morning. I got a little late in what I thought in terms of getting here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody knocked on my door to give me some money. That was kind of nice too, unexpected.
Yeah, really.
And there was a little conversation, and then I felt like I was a little behind. But for some reason, that whole energy, you know, didn't get going at all. And so I just, you know, got my little things together and got in my filthy, dirty, noisy truck. And came down and as soon as I got going, I was just like bathed in this experience of bliss. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like, my life is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even feel like it was perfect as opposed to not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like there wasn't anything opposite to it. It was just what it is, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's not the kind of perfect that's dependent on any content whatsoever.
No.
It's that unconditional, life is perfect, blissful kind of place that we just, you know, we all know it, and then we kind of wander off of it, and then
right.
We have those moments when it's just baked.
Just drop into it. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I said something about, you know, being in that old clunky truck, because, I mean, you know, it's not what you would think of, you know, hey, this is perfect.
Yeah,
this
no.
old, you know, ancient truck. But it was.
Yes.
It
yes.
absolutely was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, it's one of those, I don't know, kind of faith-building moments, and the card I pulled this morning was blessed. And that quote that you dropped in as you were describing that being bathed in and how perfect it is that if we all knew how perfect everything was, we would just throw our heads back and laugh. You know,
yes,
something
yes,
like that from
yes.
Buddha. And it sounds like you had an experience of that moment.
Yeah, I really, really did. And it would just all caught the whole morning. Just there was no effort. I didn't say, okay, now this is going to be a great morning, and we're going to do nothing.
Yeah.
It was just...
You couldn't have made it happen.
No.
Because then it would have been an eye trying to make something that never works.
Yeah. It just, I think maybe it happened because I wasn't caring or trying to do anything different than what just was the next thing to do.
Yeah. We could say maybe there was nobody there. There was no eye. There. It was just the morning unfolding, unfolding, and the human was just sort of riding it, not being an identity, just riding it.
Mm-hmm.
And there, and in that experience was perfection, was bliss.
And the irony of that is every time I have that experience, I think about death.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. I say, I could die right now.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't mind dying right now. This would be perfect time to die.
Yes.
Right
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Yeah. It's that old, the yeah. person who awakens in the morning, yeah. is the one dying in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's just so uncanny that how consistent that is, that mm-hmm. when everything is perfect, that thought always comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a reason to be great.
Yeah. Hasn't taken me yet, but someday soon it will.
Well, and even that I don't know, maybe that is the point, but being in that place mm-hmm. where like not being attached, not even to one's own life,
right?
The breath right. is just no attachment.
Yeah. That's probably why it comes up.
Uh-huh.
Because that there is nothing lacking.
Yeah.
There's nothing lacking. Mm-hmm. Nothing to cling to.
No clinging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Miracle.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's something in the air this morning. Because I was actually, just as you were talking, thinking about a book title of a book I really love called The Perfection of the Morning.
Oh.
And but a couple of things dropped in for me this morning, and kind of along the lines of what we've been talking about. And the first one was, I was out walking, and what just dropped in was, today is Sunday, September 6th, and there's not a thing I can do about it. You know, and what it was just like, I mean, that's what dropped in. I thought, well, right, there's nothing I can do about anything. You yeah. know, that's what is. You know, I didn't make it that today. I, you know, it's totally out of my hands uh-huh. that what day it is. Uh-huh. And most of the things that go on in my day actually are totally out of my hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and then I was in conversation with someone else, but then recognizing, but I'm not separate from that. Mm-hmm. So I can't do anything about it, but what I do with it makes a difference.
Yeah, it's sort of that going with the flow that we were just
talking
about.
And whatever I do as part of that day makes a difference to this person, and it makes a difference to the all that is.
Yeah.
So
it's sort of like what we bring to the game.
Right.
What we offer, our offering.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about the board, the game board,
That's
but how
right.
we play it
right.
is our right. participation.
Yeah. So. That was kind of nice that just came in unbidden. And then as I was sitting here during the meditation and doing a painting project at home, and actually all the work that goes before the painting, you know, and all the prep work, and which I usually have a lot of resistance to, and this time I'm not so much. And I was just sitting here thinking, it's not like there's work before and then the painting. It's really they're all the job, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about my own practice and how the stages it's gone through and how it feels like it's in a very different place now than it has been for most of the 23 years I've been practicing. And it felt like I think maybe a lot of that 23 years was the prep work.
It's like, that was 23 years of taping.
Yeah, it was. Spackling and taping. I've been doing that for 23 years, so that now I can practice.
And seeing it from that larger perspective, that it is all practice.
Right.
There real that
right.
distinction
that's
that
right.
is really artificial.
That's right.
It's all
yeah.
just what it is.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there could be some real, I mean, I would imagine what ego would like to have happened with that distinction is, so that didn't count. That was really, gosh,
right.
my God, it took you that long.
I was going to say it took you way too
to
long
get to
do
the pain.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Which is not, which
right.
is, it totally misses all of life.
Yeah.
Is it Dan or Daniel?
Dan. I've been so identified the last few days, and then the last night I had probably one of the worst nights of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Been so anxious,
mm-hmm.
and can't seem to see clearly through that. And, and the content is around physicality, physical stuff, so this content has, even though I know it's content, it seems so important.
Yeah.
So when something comes up, something physical goes on, I just, identify with taking it at the end, or how is my life, going to be this way if I can, if I feel this
Mm-hmm. With physicality, you mean in the body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It seems, you know, the older we get, there's more stuff.
More stuff. Yeah, exactly.
And it's been just, you know, beating up over conditioning about, oh, you're not going to be able to do this. You can't be here for a month. You can't even do the day. Mm-hmm. You know, and then just, you know, run down that road and, you know, I get so anxious and I just, you know, yep. I'm shaking and stuff.
Yeah. As if it knows, right? Like, I mean, you know, it speaks with like this authority, as if it knows what the body, what this person is going to be able to handle 30 days from now. You know, that hasn't even happened. Mm-hmm. But it says it, and it says it in such a way, and we're so conditioned to believe it, mm-hmm. that the attention goes there. It's saying all these terrifying things, and so you say terrifying things to someone, and they're going to get terrified. It's just, yeah, it's just what we have. Just what mm-hmm.
And it seems so real, too, because it's like, you know, this is going to happen. And, you know, and logically, I can, so interesting, because logically I know, but it's just hard to say in the moment, because it's like, you know,
Exactly. And that's the whole beauty and power of this place, is that logically I know kind of sense is what is so supported. It's like, okay, I can see through, on some level, I can see through the lies that this is going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling it in my body, I'm feeling all the emotions, I'm feeling everything that the voices are meaning me for me to feel. But there's still this kernel of doubt in the believability of that, and that's what being here supports and nurtures and grows, is that disbelief in the system, the egocentric system. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is a reality, though, that physically I'm not able to do it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it kind of mixes that in there, and then what goes on is a martyr. Oh gosh, this is it. I'm not going to be able to do this, and so then it intensifies everything.
Yeah. So let me see if I'm gonna, so there is something, there is a task or something physical that you're not going to be able to do, or at least that's, it seems that it's going to be problematic to do. Uh-huh. And what the system would do is say, that's it, you can't do it, you got to leave, you're going to die, or you know, whatever right. terrifying story all it tells you, right? And then, but what is, what the guidance is and what's possible is to communicate, to get the support that's needed, you know, and to see how life unfolds from that different tactic, from that different perspective. So instead of believing the story and buying it, we communicate, we ask for guidance. Mm-hmm. Get the help and support that seems to be called for.
Would that be like talking to other people or asking things or?
Well, depending on what it is, it might start with the note to the guest master, mm-hmm. you know, or, yeah. And then as, you know, you just arrived, so you'll be getting, you know, orientation and everything. And that would be a good question to certainly put is, well, how do I communicate? What is it? But again, always the good place to start is a note to the guest master. Did I see your hands? Did it pass?
Well, talk last Sunday about hating recording listening.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been doing a lot of it. Must be recording. And this morning I listened to some. I think it's the listening that I resist so hard,
uh-huh.
because the belief and the, frankly, experience is I so seldom record anything that is judged to be worth listening to.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be an identification going on there. There's something more. Yeah.
And so
big clues.
That's big clues. Well, and so did you, so that's the resistance in the listening, is that this isn't worth it. I don't want to listen to this. This isn't worth listening.
Yeah, and so then it says, then why record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So circle back around and kill the recording aspect.
No. So I suppose that there is encouragement in just the fact that I haven't quit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And as I've been recording this week, the focus has been say whatever is going on right now.
Yeah.
What is being said right now, regardless of what it sounds like, regardless of what it is, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, and so I've been doing that, and it alternates between, again, severe judgment here. It alternates between extremely shallow drivel. and just grim reality. grim. And the thing that gives that away is how unbelievably not grim my life is. And the shallow drivel I can buy into. I feel like that's not as nice. I mean, facetious there. But what has kicked in this morning is, and this almost had me until a few minutes ago, something just showed it to me. But what kicked in and what I was believing was, well, when you find your sense of humor, this will all transform. And so now it all hinges on finding my sense of humor and recording.
Uh-huh.
It's true, it's not there.
Yeah.
So it's just a really interesting process.
Wow, yeah. And so it's true, it's not there when you're recording or listening. There's a process of grim drivel. It's just not a sense of humor. No, nothing light or fun about it. But in the speaking about it, there's been a lot of humor, actually.
Well, I mean, I think that's what a... Yeah, I know I have a sense of humor.
But even in within
but
this.
Whoever flicks that little switch,
uh-huh.
You know, and maybe it's true. Maybe there is an element of truth to finding a sense of humor. I mean, I can see that, but making success and failure.
Yeah.
Hinge on that.
Exactly.
It's not the process.
Exactly. Because there's serious, grim ego trying to find a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen.
right?
But in the telling, in the record, picking up and doing it no matter what, just not stopping, and saying whatever is going on in them, or just everything you laid out, what actually happened in the last few minutes is humor was there.
Yeah.
I predict there wasn't anyone trying to be funny or trying to find it, but it was just there. Because you just participated, like what we were just talking about with the poet. We just do it. We just to take the steps, do the practices, and the magic happens.
Yeah, that's really good, relating it back to what Lakota talked about.
So what you said a minute ago about something like just not giving up, that's everything, isn't it? And it's just kind of...
Well, that's been a theme in my 34 years of practice.
No,
I'm still here. That's huge.
It is huge. Yeah. I bet we could get a show of hands and like, okay, yes, that's just everything. I mean, we all kind of go there. It's like, I can't believe what I've been through and still am showing up. Even though, like, I mean, been through like yesterday. And still am showing up. Jen.
So much in those last two conversations, I really appreciated. First of all, for me, the sense of humor is huge. It's so huge. I was just talking to Sadie about that last night.
She has a great sense of humor.
Oh my gosh. And the mentor, and just, that's a huge, I realized, I was reporting about it last night, a huge part of my reporting and listening practice is just a real likeness. And just a being with the person, and just, I've talked about it before, but just kind of, you know, when stuff's going on, like really exaggerating it, you know, and just like, oh, it's terrible. It's so awful, isn't it? It's just the worst thing that ever, you know, and I'll say to Sadie, you know, do you think it's the worst or is it the second worst? I don't know. I need the other one when the, you know, and it's that place where like, this reporting stinks, doesn't it? How bad does it stink? Like, it's from 1 to 10, what would you say? You know? Just stuff like that where it's like, just, oh, because ego wants to take itself so seriously.
Yeah, I talk about, you know, just so showing that irreverence and just blocking, conditioning.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's so fun. In fact, it's funny, I was looking yesterday at a big piece of what I've been practicing with this year is silence and stillness. And I was joking with the mentor or whatever on the recording, like, boy, for practicing a year of silence, we sure talk a lot. Meaning, I realized that very often I'm in conversation, out loud even when I can, with the mentor, with Sadie, who's the mentor essentially, you know, with life. And just realizing in a funny way, I think that's a companion to or a prerequisite, whenever you want to talk about that, to silence. Because if, at least this is my experience, if I'm not in that conscious conversation, I'm in an unconscious conversation of suffering. So to be in that, which I think is a piece of what the recording so assists with, to be in a conscious conversation, you know, whatever it is, what I'm grateful for, what I'm seeing, what I'm having fun with, what I'm, because that's the other piece of it, that sense of humor so leads to a lightness, you know, I'm always saying to Sadie, are you the best dog there ever was in the whole universe? I mean, is it possible that I, you know, just stuff like that, where it's just that, you know, how could we be this lucky to have this tree in front of, you know, just stuff like that, where it's just in that sort of, that conversation with life.
Yes. Yeah, and to have that conscious conversation, I'm sure I said something like this recently, that it's okay to be in a conversation on our way to silence.
Exactly.
And
that's what I was remembering,
too. The conversation that we want.
Exactly.
Yep.
I truly think that that's a,
on our way to silence.
Yeah.
It's and it's almost like, because I've been looking at that too, how silence, it's almost like grace, you know? Because if we set out for silence, it's like there's the I that's setting out for silence.
Right.
And therefore,
right.
What we're really in is a conversation with conditioned mind. But what you've stumbled on, it sounds like, is that through recording with the mentor and recording with and talking to Sadie all the time, is that it is shifting that process away from there being an I being silenced to just going through the process, the training that's in front of us to do.
Whatever's here in this moment, you know, just what is. Not trying to make myself into something or make the experience into something. You know, we were looking earlier in the group at clinging to what I really want or, you know, because even that, it's funny. So that talking about getting to be up in the beautiful mountains and then, you know, then as that comes to a close, again, bringing that lightness to it, you know, of whatever it is, I can't remember, but, you know, instead of like, okay, either I don't want to leave or, okay, don't get attached. Bringing that lightness to that, you know, that's got to be one of the top 10 best days ever and, you know, just kind of that. You know, sort of acknowledging, I'm always talking about this recently, but acknowledging what's there and assisting, supporting the human with, that's fine. That's fine to have that experience. But it doesn't need to be a story or anything, you know, which even that, like, it's one of those things where it's hard to talk about because I don't hear on the recordings things like, now it doesn't need to be made into a story. But it's just, it's that message that's being delivered in that way of holding the human, and that's perfectly okay to feel that way.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but we don't need to stay there.
Right, you know? Right. And there's something about that perfectly okay. You know, it's a phrase I've heard you use a lot is, well, who can blame you? I want to stay in the cool mountains. Well, who can blame you?
Yeah. Exactly, and that right there is the portal for making a joke of it.
Yes.
You mean you'd rather be up here than in the 100 degree heat? That's odd, isn't it? I wonder why.
Yeah. And there's the lightness.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Which, in my experience, completely opens one to have fun in the sweltering heat of our 95-degree hermitage at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, there's just that, you know, wow, it's hot in here.
Is this the hottest we've ever been?
Precisely, precisely. But, you know, it reminded me of just that last conversation of I've been playing with, let's see, what was I doing? Oh, just, is that so, in the recording. So
yeah.
Catching really subtle messages, not even voices, but just messages, and then turning on the recorder and say, really? Huh. And so I was doing that the other night, and it had said, the voice was something like, I mean, yeah, you kept all your commitments today, but you were kind of just going through the motions, you know? You weren't really joyful. I was recording what it was saying. And on the recording, I started to say, this is interesting, because I noticed my energy spiraling down as I'm recording this, like starting to believe it. So there must be something, that's interesting, because what's going on here? And being, so again, the voice was sort of wanting to come in to say, you know, this isn't actually working, what you're doing here in recording. You're moving in the wrong direction. But sort of sticking with it and going, okay, huh. So I know that not recording isn't the way, so what else could be going on? And it just, as I stuck with it, it dropped in. Wait a minute. The voice is saying, but you weren't really joyful. And then I flashed back on my day, and it was unbelievable to see how very joyful it was. And that truly, you weren't very joyful, was going to stand as the thing that I was supposed to believe and never question. And what I got was, at least this is sort of, I don't know, but what I saw as I was looking at it was there was no I in those experiences that was noting that it was joyful. So when the voice comes in to say, you know, the voice is noting and the voice is saying, I'm not joyful.
Yes.
And to realize that it's it that's not joyful.
Yes.
But then looking back, questioning that, looking back on it and seeing all of this joy for which there was no I there present to note that I am joyful was just so interesting to see how those you know, bamboozles happen.
Basically. Yes, so if I'm with you, it's sort of like there wasn't an in the joy, there's no I that needs to declare I'm joyful.
Right.
Right? And so later, when the one who needs to declare things, ego,
exactly.
It's kind of like we used to joke in meetings, the one with the magic marker runs the meeting.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And so the one with all the power.
Yep.
And so like that is becomes the record of the day.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't joyful. Yeah. Because look, I declared it.
Exactly.
And if you hadn't been, if you hadn't stayed with the process, then that would have kind of carried, and it would have gotten your energy because was its whole intention.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, without being an I who needs to counter the declaration, you could just, with is that so, you could just kind of circle back around to and the lie was revealed.
Right, exactly. So it's sort of that place of, you know, Ashwini talks about a calibrating to life, where what can serve us so well is, you know, so that place of like, but you weren't very joyful. Even if I'm not completely here to see through the lie of what, we always know on some level, that's not it.
Yeah.
That's not it. So if we can stay in that inquiry with all the patience in the world, maybe I'll see through it in this recording, maybe I won't. But stay with it, with that patience, we always will. You know, I think I was reminded of it, of that, I just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ego says recording is terrible and I don't like doing it. And I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
you know, and that will always see through to the ground of being, to what is so, because it's what we are.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it's what we are, so it will always be revealed.
And that's great. Yeah, what's dropping in as you're saying that is so the place where ego's days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when because we are just staying with
it. Right. Right. And if we can get to the place where we don't care what that number is,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's cool. Ego's days are numbered.
I want you to help me.
Wait, it's been 3 days.
Or I thought
they were numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because we get to live in the process of just showing.
Yeah, and I was connecting it with the conversation before that too about, you know, that place of where whatever's going on, like the anxiety levels are really, really high and we find ourselves in a difficult place, and that the opportunity in that is to be with it, you know, to be with it, because so we're in a situation where we're challenged, and it's a huge challenge, and it's a question mark whether, quote, I'm going to make it through it, you know, and will I, won't I, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the opportunity to just bring so much compassion to the human who's having that experience, and to let the person have whatever experience we're having without needing to change it or to run away from it, which is what we're so conditioned to do, to get away, to survive it in some way. But, you know, just to be there with it, and as you say, the good fortune to be in an environment where, you know, to whatever extent we're able to realize this is a really trustworthy environment, you know, that none of us is going to be left on our own, that we're going to be so supported in whatever way we need to be supported.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so thank you for bringing that, because what I hear you're bringing forward is that profound level of adequacy in offering oneself the care and support. That
well, and that, you know, in where you say that, it's so interesting because the adequacy, quote adequacy, that conditioning would put on it is meaning I'm going to be able to do everything to the conditioned standard, and I'm going to, you know, I won't have to ask for help, and I'll be able to take care of all my needs. Right. Every one of those words has to be in quotes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But the adequacy is that we can have the compassion, and that in that we can ask for help when we need it, and as you said, we can communicate when we need to, and we, you know, all of those things.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
I've been doing the commitment thing.
The high five?
Yeah, and one in particular, which I set out, which was to do something concrete every day for my home, my neighborhood, or my community.
Uh-huh.
Something hands-on and concrete. And I have been having so much fun. And so I finished the road. I cleaned the road. I finished the road Saturday. And then I worked on repairing our deck, and then this morning our great neighbors came over, we covered our solar panels because we're going to have our house oiled, and it was all like play, you know, it was all just fun. And what I was appreciating is that I love that kind of work, and I often get talked out of it. And so, you know, one of the great things about making these kinds of commitments is that we do the things that we really love to do, that we really want to do, that's why we make the commitment. And then we're constantly talked out of. And so I just wanted to testify. that it's just great to make those kinds of commitments. You know, I've often said if I didn't grow up the way I did, I would love to have been a manual laborer.
Yeah.
And so now I can.
Well, and now you can in a way that, in a context, I should say, that supports everything, the heart, the body, the community, the home, the everything.
It's it does. It's the activity itself.
It's the
one thing I love about concrete activities is that there are concrete things you can see that happen.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I have to say. And it's also a process of caring for, which is very, very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, if I looked at those things I did, like pull nails out of a deck and put in screws instead, and clean the crash off the road, and you know, I could look at that and say that's grubby work, but it was play.
Mm-hmm.
So it also just sort of bust all those definitions, you know, this is work and this is play.
Yeah.
So in line with that, in the course of the conversation today, I was also looking at the fact that there's a couple of areas of my life right now, realms, where the message is one of resistance. And when I was just looking at one of those realms, I was realizing that every single given activity within it is just fine. Uh-huh. It's really sort of what was just being talked about.
Uh-huh.
That the message the conditioning keeps giving is that I am resisting this, or that there's resistance, or we don't want to do it. We don't want to do this. But then when I do each piece of it, it's just fun.
Uh-huh.
And how easy it is to get tricked, you know. Uh-huh. That conditioning not only often has the last word, but often the first word.
Uh-huh.
And that can condition the experience. And the blessing is it hasn't, actually,
yes.
As I'm actually doing it, I can see it. But if I don't check back in, I'll miss that. And the next time it comes up, I'm thinking I'm in resistance again.
Yeah, because it's sort of labeled the whole experience as not pleasurable or whatever.
I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do it.
Right.
And then because of your commitment, because of your practice, for whatever blessed reason, you actually do it.
Right.
And your experience is quite different.
Yep.
And so therefore, it may have offered the first word, but it didn't actually achieve its goal. It's to get you not to do it, feel bad, let it beat you up about that,
or not enjoy it,
Yeah.
So it's just been helpful to see how all the conditioned interpretation and labels of what things are, and how I even feel about them, are such inventions, and how much is. As people have been saying, how much of my life is just fabulous.
I hear you, sister. Well, I know. It's just so good.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. That how much is it again, it's just that reassertment that ego lies.
It does.
Nothing but lies.
It
lies, misrepresents, fabricates, invents.
Thank you.
It's a good reminder all the time. Please.
I'm having a good time this morning and last night getting here watching conditioning try to get a foothold in the new environment. Because my other life at home, there's so much content that's so entrenched, and conditioning has a really nice grip on those things. But here, kind of doesn't have a.
Yeah, so it's got to get.
Has it kind of got a grip?
Yeah.
So. But it's been constant, just trying everything.
Yeah.
But the fun is that the things are so, it's such struggle that it doesn't, it's so easy to see. It's just been the silliest little, the color of my dishes needs to matter.
Uh-huh.
And where it's placed needs to matter. Uh-huh. And then a really good one this morning was that outhouse is better than that outhouse.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, I mean, every single thing.
I know the minutia of the preferences that must happen.
Right.
By condition one.
Yeah. So I used the outhouse that it didn't like. You know, even taking something that was really wonderful this morning in breakfast. And where I was sitting, and what I was seeing, and just how wonderful, you know, the physical environment around me, and just sitting there enjoying it, and then it comes in. Well, it's not going to be like this every day, you know. So, well, you can't enjoy it because, but it's just.
Isn't it good to see the ridiculousness?
It's just so much fun to see it here and knowing that. Really the same process is happening at home, but the content, it just is more believable.
So far.
Right.
Not
yeah. It's not believable from this standpoint.
Yeah.
So from where I am right now, I can see that it's the same thing.
Yes. And that's the beautiful piece, isn't it?
It's the same thing.
There's the crack in the believability of what felt like it had a firm foothold.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't, because you're not, because in order for it to be holding that
illusion firmly, you'd have to be believing it, and now you're really not.
Yeah.
It's
so fun to see it.
It's so much fun. Thank you. Thank you all.